everybody to listen to Derek Carter. Yeah. We all know he's the party starter. So if you want to listen to a podcast for free, listen to a Pocket Party. Pocket Party. Durant.
Pocket Party.
All right, buddy. We are calling Fraser Smith, Pocket Party Podcast. Fraser Smith.
Carter.
There he is. Fraser Smith, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
What's happening? I do have a big, as you can tell, I have a big fan base. You could just hear him there in the background.
Yeah. It's funny because I do have the sound cues like to do it, but I'm always, I don't know how loud it's going to be. I don't know.
It always sounds better organic.
Yeah, when I'm just like, yeah, you get a real crowd. Or that was just me breathing into the microphone going, yeah. Here, I can try it. Ready? Here we go. Here's what I have.
We're done with this interview.
Oops, that's the wrong one. That was the we're done with this interview one. No, we want this one. Oh, here we go. This is C, and I think C stands for cheers. Ladies and gentlemen, Fraser Smith. Oh,
well,
yeah.
Better actually.
Much better.
Sounds like a Laker crowd, you know.
I know. Oh, that'd be more like boo.
Yeah, they would be, especially this year.
I'm not a big NBA fan. I don't really watch like basketball. I guess maybe it never really connected with me. I know a lot of people are, but I think I just from what I gather online, just as a casual observer, it seems like people are pretty disappointed with the Lakers this year.
Well, they had a lot of injuries. You know, they're used to going really deep in the playoffs, if not winning at all, like they did last year. And so, yeah, the fans are disappointed. But when you really look at what happened, it was basically a lot of injuries to their stars. You know, LeBron was injured for a long time. He came back to the playoffs, but Davis, who's there. So, you know, that's going to happen in the playoffs. If your big guns go out, you know, you're not do as well.
I used to love your Clippers jokes about them having the small crowds and people. Do you remember what you used to say, some of your Clippers material from back in the
day?
Well,
yeah, my old joke was the Clippers used to not get any fans, and you call it the box office, and you're like, what time's the game start? You're like, what time can you get here?
I know. What time can you get here? You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what's funny about that is that really it was basically true. You know.
Yeah.
You know, I used to go to the Clipper games. I remember my used to play in the sports arena, and my agent had floor seats at the Clippers, which I used to mock him about because you know it's a big deal to have floor seats at the Lakers, but Clippers not so much, especially back then. Now the Clippers are good, but yeah. Back then they weren't good, and you know they couldn't get any fans. You really would go into the sports arena, which probably holds about 18,000, and there'd be like, you know, 1,500 people in there.
Yeah, it's kind of like comedy shows when they're like, let's wait a little bit longer. We got some people coming. And you're like,
yeah.
Know? Like, I remember the first time I played comedy at Magic Club when I first got accepted to play there, you know, in Hermosa Beach, the world famous comedy Magic Club. I remember asking Richard, the booker, I said, so the show's at 8 o'clock. I said, what time? Because I'm leaving Burbank, right? And there's traffic. I go, what time does it really start? Like 8:15, maybe 8:20. And he goes, no, we actually start at 8 o'clock, sometimes 7:59. I'm like, wow. Like that they've trained.
Yeah, it's one of those,
yeah, they've trained
their situations where they're always right on time. And I remember the other thing about the Clipper games back at the sports arena that I remember was the, you know how Lakers have all kinds of celebrities at the games, and they always show them on TV. At the Clipper games back in those days, there was one celebrity, Billy Crystal.
Really?
Yeah, Billy Crystal loved the Clippers, and you'd see him sitting there by himself in a seat, you know, and you're like, wow, that's the one celebrity that's here.
He looks marvelous.
He did look marvelous, actually.
He looked marvelous. That might be a good move. Let's go to, like, sporting events that aren't that popular. And so we can move up higher up the ladder of celebrityism.
Well, it's better for you. There's no problem parking back in the old days.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be like, yeah, it's true. I was going to say that'd be like going to like a middle school something or the other.
Well, yeah. I remember Alonzo Bowden had a bit, or still has a bit, I think, about, I hope I'm not giving it away, about, you know, Clipper fan or Clipper players having to go out and hawk tickets outside. Like, you know, It's like, you know, when you go to New York at one of the comedy clubs, yeah. they sometimes have the young comedians out front trying to bark, get people into the club.
Yeah. You know,
Clipper players are like, hey, come on in. We got a game tonight.
Yeah, they've always tried different things. I remember an event called they would be playing basketball. I don't. Did you ever hear of something like that?
Oh, yeah. And a lot of those donkeys are now in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. They're like, yeah, our number one player got injured. Hee-haw.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes it's hard for the coach to get through to the players during a halftime.
Yeah, bunch of jackasses out there.
Yeah, no, you guys are a bunch of asses. Come on. Yeah,
exactly. You guys are stubborn as my first string team.
Yeah.
How good are you
stubborn
at basketball?
As a mule.
Yes. How good were you at basketball? Not good.
And I wasn't. The only sport I was really any good at was hockey. And because I'm from Michigan, so everybody plays a lot of hockey there. So I was pretty good at hockey. I played high school hockey, you know. And now I do this podcast called Puck Off with Joe Bartnick and Andy Picaro. You know those guys.
Yeah.
And they are really knowledgeable about hockey. Joe Bartnick and Andy are both like experts. I know very little, although I've learned a lot doing the podcast. And we're really popular in, you know, places where hockey's big, like New York City and Boston and Philly and all these places where I never really had any fans before, you know, and all of a sudden, because of this podcast, I got some fans on the East Coast and in Canada.
Yeah, that's I've shout out to Rems, one of the listeners. He took me to a hockey game 1 year, and it was pretty cool. Like, I'd never been to a hockey game, so I was, number one, I was surprised how cold it was in there, and I actually like that because, you know, it's like, oh, anywhere it's cold and I can dress like it's winter, especially living in L.A., it's like, it's amazing. And it was super fun to watch, like, the whole thing was just I actually had a really good time. I think that was at Staples Center.
Probably at Staples. You probably saw the Kings or maybe the Ducks. You know, it's a really fun sport. You know, it's really a fun sport, and it's fun live. Better live than on TV.
Oh, yeah. By the way, I want to do a couple of quick shout-outs on the podcast. I want to give a shout-out to all the people that always support and leave comments on YouTube and just really help spread the word of the Pocket Party podcast. Alex Bernstein, my man, thank you all the time for supporting. I appreciate it. George Lloyd. George Lloyd, I do a bit, Fraser, where if people still have their Christmas decorations up throughout the year, if I can, I have either I film it or I have different listeners and fans film it, and they go, and we still celebrating Christmas, and then they hashtag still celebrating Christmas. And George Lloyd, I think he's in Texas or Vegas, I'm not sure. He's in a hot area, and there are still some places that still have like their Christmas wreath up on their front door.
Good for them. That's good. I like that.
Yeah. Shout out real quick to 21st. Okay, here we go. Troll Slayer Inc. 100% Maple Syrup. SF Giants Guy 408. Duron. Shout out to Cindy Larson Music. Tobias Kevorkazito. Okay, real quick. Tobias Kevorkazito. And just real quick, Diana Holiday and Canadian Podcast Network. And I'll do more later. Thank you. All right. We're back with Fraser
Smith.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, you're mentioning, we were talking about hockey, and, you know, you're the Pocket Party Podcast, right?
Yeah,
Pocket. And there used to be a hockey player called the Pocket Rocket.
Wow.
And that was the brother of the great Rocket Richard. He was one of the all-time greats. Played for Montreal Canadiens, who are in the playoffs this year, surprisingly. But his brother was the Pocket Rocket. And that could take a lot of connotations, the Pocket Rocket. And
pickles, and he likes to make dough. He's like, yeah. No, guys, get your head out of the gutter. It's like,
no, come on, his first name is Del. Del Doe.
Yeah, Del Doe. Yeah.
Yeah, hey, old buddy.
I'm reading a book right now. It's with it's from the Opie and Anthony show, the ONA. It's Anthony Cumia, and he's talking about his rise through radio and just, you know, and eventually their demise where they had a falling out and blah blah blah. But he started his own Compound Network. But I find it really interesting, especially I was a guy that was interested in doing radio, and then I got sidetracked with stand up, and I took that path. But it's interesting seeing how he got into radio. I guess he was you know, he was actually late in life. It might have been not real late, but he was, I believe, in his either late 20s or early 30s. He was doing air conditioning installing, and but then he won some parody contest and got on the air, like, doing free appearances, and then eventually. So I'm curious, like, with you, how, when did you start? Like, were you a teenager? Were you in your 20s? Was it, like, something you walked away from a whole job to do, or what? How did your
I started really, really pretty young. I started when I was like 18, and then now I'm doing air conditioning repair. So, yeah. But during this heat wave, it's actually a really good job.
Exactly.
Now, I started really young because I started in college, and basically it was to get out of doing actual classes. You know, I was really a lazy student, and you could get credit for working at the radio station as like a class, you know? So I started working at the radio station, and then I thought, well, I want to get paid for this because you don't get paid for doing the college station. And so I went, they had a little FM station in, I went to Western Michigan University in Kalamazoo, Michigan, of all places. And so I got a job at the local AM station there, and it was called WYYY. And my joke was, that's what they asked themselves after they hired me. why did we hire this guy? But it went all over the town, and it was kind of cool because all of a sudden, dude, you were on the radio today. We heard you when we were driving, you know, and it was pretty cool. And then I kind of just moved up from market to market. You know, I went from there to Detroit, and from Detroit to L.A.
Wow. In this book that I'm reading, I think he said he made $28,000 as installing air conditionings, and then his first job he got offered $27,000, which is $1,000 less, but he was like, this is what I want to do, I'll do it. And the program director said, let's wait till a couple of rating books come out and then we'll give you a raise. And then I want to say it got raised to $35,000 a year, and he was like, yes. And then another number that he mentioned was at one point they got $140,000 a year, and he's like, yes. And then when they went into syndication, he's like, their agent was making the deal for the different markets, and he's like, this is unbelievable. Like, he honestly couldn't believe it. It was like millions and millions. Like, it was just crazy. Do you remember a time when you went from like low money to like, this is amazing, like, and what that felt like to do what you love to do?
It actually was opposite for me. I went from making money to, wait a minute, this is amazing, I am making nothing. Everything with my career has been backwards. That actually is kind of true. I started out making really low money, then I made all of a sudden really good money because I got big ratings and I was pretty big. I was only in one market. I didn't get that big yeah. syndication money, you know, that later, because it really, when I was coming up, there really wasn't syndication yet. So I missed that, unfortunately. But I made some okay money, though. And then as you start to, I had little things happen with management, and they would switch management, and all of a sudden I'd be out of a gig. And then next time you get a gig, you have to almost start at the bottom again, money-wise. And it just, I never really made that big money again. But I did make big money for a few years.
How do you like the show so far? Pretty good, right? By the way, here I am acting with John Travolta in the movie Be Cool. Check it out. If you like this show and you want to show your support, every little bit helps. Go to DarrenCarter.com. I'm on PayPal or Venmo at Darren Carter Comic on Venmo. Also, I'm available on Cameo. Also, Jemmy. All right, let's get back into the show. Oh, don't forget to like, subscribe, and share. That's cool. They in this book he was talking about what it was like to be, I think he was in his 40s, and they were going kind of after Howard Stern, even though they were the same company, but then they would kind of, you know, and then they would kind of, he knew how, he goes, even though I'm a fan of Howard and I love listening to him, he's like, Howard was basically, you know, trying to shoot them down. So he's like, we're going to fire back. And he goes, and the angle that he took, he goes, was that because Howard kind of plays like he's the average guy, he's the everyday man. He goes, I'd go for the other angle of like knowing that he has a house in the Hamptons, that he's this elite and blah, blah, blah. And he said that really got to Howard. And so, but then they had the same boss, Mel, I think his name is Mel Karmazan.
Mel Karmazan.
So Mel called them in and he goes, and here we are in our 40s and we're waiting in the lobby for like an hour, like we're getting called in the principal's office. And he goes, when we walked in, I think the quote was something like, and I'm going to curse, guys. So if you're listening with kids, cover their ears. He said, Mel said, and I have no idea how Mel talks. I'm just going to give him this voice. He said, Mel was like, he's like, what time? Oh, he goes something like, how early in the morning do you wake up to decide I'm going to fuck Mel Karmazan? And he said, they were like, ooh, because I felt like, because I honestly had that feeling of we're going to get fired. Because I felt like a kid again, like I was getting yelled at by my dad. He goes, I actually felt like I was going to start crying. Like, this is crazy. Like, I can't believe. And then he said, luckily, they got within a millisecond or a millimeter of not getting fired. And he said, just lay off Howard. Don't mention him again. Act like it, blah, blah, blah. And so they said they totally backed off and were like, we're not going to, you know, no inside jokes, no alluding to certain things, none of this, none of that. And of course, they said they got, you know, out of there and walked a couple blocks away. And then they were like, screw Howard Stern, blah, 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 blah. But then they ended up not... So far in this book that I'm reading, they ended up like, okay, let's not go there. That's the place we're not going to go. But, you know.
Yeah, I think, well, yeah. You know, that's your money guy, Howard, you know, and they always, you know, management always favors the star, and that's kind of how it's always been. You know, Howard brings the most money into the company, so they don't, you know, the higher-ups don't want you messing with your
right,
your top dog, you know.
Yeah, it's interesting. Do you ever get together with or meet up with any of these DJs from around the way? Like, I'm just curious. Like, is there ever like we're gonna have a meeting, a pancake breakfast, and there's sitting, you know, that you sometimes
would see them there, and yeah, and then occasionally you'll see them around town. I mean, I'm friendly with Tom Likas. I love Tom Likas. Really an amazing DJ, and. Yeah, I get along great with all of them. I get along great with Howard Stern. He's a really cool guy. You know, when I got to meet him, and he was real nice to me, and I like him, and I've always loved his show. And, you know, I get along with almost all of them, but you know me, Darren, I try to get along with everybody. You know, but you don't see them all the time. You just sort of see them occasionally. And I remember one guy, though, got mad because it was Shotgun Tom Kelly, and we kept calling him Cap Gun. He goes, Cap Gun Tom Kelly.
Cap Gun. Yeah. Oh, my God.
And then we had the sound effect of a Cap Gun. It sounded really like a really lightweight, you know, gun going off in the background. Pap, pap. You know, we're like, wow, there's Cap Gun again. And I remember hilarious. He was pissed about that.
Shotgun Tom Kelly.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to take a break right here. Something says right. Let me just take a break. And then
I got jokes coming up if you want them.
1 second. I don't know if this thing is recording. I'm looking down. It says right error. Let me figure out what's happening and I'll edit this together. So can give me however long this is going to take. I have no idea why it's saying this.
Okay.
Okay. And I'll, okay. Okay. I'll let you know.
You call me back?
Yes. Oh, wait, it's still recording. Okay. What does that mean?
All right. We're okay. Good.
We're good.
All right.
Okay.
You may lose me in a minute. I'm running out of juice, but let me read a couple of jokes quickly.
Yeah, what do you got? What do you got?
All right, hold on a second. These are jokes that I've decided, for one reason or other, not to use anymore. Okay?
Yeah, this is the perfect place to put them. All right,
here's one. Yes. Okay, here's one. Okay, you know, the pandemic is ending, and kind of nice to go into a convenience store now, and the only one wearing a mask is the guy who's robbing the place.
Yeah. That does look suspicious, you know, even though we're getting used to seeing masks. Now I'm starting to get used to not seeing the mask, like in public, like outside. And I did see a guy riding around on a bicycle with the old bandit look, you know, with like the bandana where it was pulled.
Yeah.
And it looked kind of suspicious. I got to be honest. It didn't look like he was there for anyone's health. It looked like he was trying to it was also a grown man on a little kid's bike. And I was like,
that is always creepy anyway, but you know, he may have just knocked off a 7-Eleven and
exactly.
You know,
I know. Yeah.
That was his getaway car. Okay. Here's another one. Bob Dylan, the famous Bob Dylan just turned 80. Yeah. His new hit songs are The Diapers. They Need a Changin'. And
Except the times are changing, the diapers are changing.
They need a change in. And hey, Mr. Tambourine Man, get off my lawn.
Or how about or hey, Mr. Tambourine Man, can you turn it up?
Okay, here's a couple. Need a taco order. Screw the joke up, but okay, a couple more questions for her. What's Kamala Harris's least famous? What's Kamala Harris's least favorite animal?
Let me guess. I have no idea.
A border collie.
A border collie.
Folks, come on.
Hey-o. Yeah.
All right. What's one place Kamala Harris absolutely refuses to go? You should be able to get this one.
California, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas?
No, Borders Bookstore.
Oh, Borders Bookstore. That's funny.
Okay, here's one. A lot of people put on weight during the pandemic. You know, Darren, I know I was binge eating KFC. It was on my bucket list.
It was on my bucket list.
Come on, everybody. One more. You can even get the vaccine at strip clubs. Well, no problem. Strippers are used to sitting for a little prick.
Dude, that's really good. Don't get rid of that one. Keep that one in. That's funny.
That's
I mean, they're
one,
all
right?
funny, but that one's, yeah. Now, what about when you said strippers, and you know what? I remember, I think I saw in a movie once, we'll say, I saw a strip club and this stripper was spraying the pole in between strippers. They disinfect the pole.
Yeah.
We went to a carnival recently, and they were spraying the merry-go-round poles in between riders, and it just kind of had that stripper feel. I was like, wow. Like, you know, they're all, all right, coming on the dance floor, our next group of merry-go-round, you know.
Well, now they spray down everything, so I guess that's par for the course these days.
Oh, there was another one I had. You said your KFC, it was on your, going to every KFC was on your bucket list. I don't know if they're bringing it back, but for a while they stopped saying finger-licking good.
Maybe you could use that somehow
with like COVID and finger licking and.
Yeah, that's something that I could see them maybe having to put on a shelf for a while.
Yeah, or like it's surgical glove licking good.
Yeah.
You know? Surgical glove, because you know some people wear the surgical gloves and the
goggles. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
a good idea. Yeah. Here's one. Well, you know, I was on this kind of sports radio show. And I was making a comment about President Biden's over in England, right? And I said he'd been eating spotted dick.
Ooh.
And the guy thought I was making a dick joke, which I guess I was, but they actually have a popular dish in England called spotted dick. It's kind of like a rice pudding with raisins in it. I guess the raisins would be the spotted part. I don't know where they get the dick from. But neither does the queen. Come on, folks.
Advertising
spot. I just made a joke because I'd seen that and I couldn't believe that it was an actual food. For some, I guess it is. Yeah. It's a big deal in England.
Spotted. That's wild. That is wild.
Wild. Crazy stuff. Let's see. Do I have any other ones?
Do you like raisins?
Not big on raisins, no.
Yeah, I'm not big on raisins. I actually do like I like good raisins though. Like if they're fresh, believe it or not, here like up in Fresno, the raisins are plump, they're juicy, they're delicious.
Fresno has better vegetables and fruit than I think a lot of places because it's farm country, right?
Yeah, you don't want like
that's where raisins. You get those giant. You sometimes see it. Yeah, I was actually begging.
There you.
Vitamin D.
I remember.
You're a boxer now, and. Boxers have to have that extra zip. You know, we got some boxing. What do you think about the Mayweather-Logan Paul fiasco?
You know what? It was I didn't really watch the whole fight. I watched just the highlights, and you know what? I don't know. I mean, they both kind of made out good, I guess, like from a behind-the-scenes way. Like Mayweather made the money, and Paul made the – He made some money, and also, like, you know, he can say that he survived. I went the distance. I went the distance, you know?
Well, yeah, and I think that's what it was all about, was really those guys making money. you know, that those ex
yeah
cold, you know, you're kind of like, that was all right, I guess, you know.
I saw another one with Lamar Odom, I believe, and Aaron Carter.
Yeah, did you see that one?
Yeah, that was like, wow. Like, Aaron Carter wasn't even protecting his chin or any of the beginning stuff. Like, the first day in there, they always say, keep your chin down and your hands up. I mean, they just drill into your head, keep your hands up, keep your hands up, keep your hands up. I mean.
Yeah, I think that's the thing with amateurs. They just, they get in there and they just start swinging and, you know.
Yeah, they're like, screw this, all this lessons. I'm going to do with what comes natural. But what comes natural isn't going to work. Most likely
not against a good boxer, you know, against somebody that's really a real boxer. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know about those celebrity things, but those guys are making money. Yeah. Jake Paul, and I guess Jake Paul and Logan Paul always go to the Laugh Factory. The manager told me that the other day. He says they're always coming in. I met Jake over at Laugh Factory. He's a nice kid.
That's cool.
And I think not a bad boxer either. You know, he pretty good, but,
I mean, these guys, they're taking it serious. They are taking it serious. I mean, it does, I guess, you know, it sucks for, like, boxers that didn't have another plan. They just wanted to be, you know, they came up as kids, and they're seeing these guys jump the line and get all the money in the spotlight. But I guess they have to, if they have a good attitude, they're like, yeah, welcome to the sport. Thank you. You know, like, maybe one day they'll be on the undercard or something.
Well, I think that's it. I think they kind of have to applaud these kids a little bit in the sense that it might up their money someday.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, because they are bringing more money, and it's amazing the amount of pay-per-views these guys get.
It's boxing, besides the fact that you're trying to punch somebody or get punched, it's like just the physical aspect of it. I mean, there's a drill I've been doing with my son. So we have a tractor tire, right? So you take a tractor tire and I put a line in the sand about around the tire, almost like the radius, like around 4 feet around the tire. So we're saying, okay, you got to basically stay within, you know, a certain distance of the tire. And I set my timer for 1 minute and I go, I'm going to chase you around this tire and try to tag you. And once I tag him, once your opponent's tagged, you get, you know, I said, you get a chance to reset, like, you know, like, you know, 5 seconds to reset, because you don't want to just be like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So you run around, tag them, and then reset, and then try to tag them again. And I'm telling you, Frazier, man, it's a wind sprint, and you're changing directions, and you're going real fast. And sometimes I'm able to tag him 5 times. Sometimes I'm able to tag him 7. And that's just 1 minute.
Well, you know what? You wind up really tired.
Yeah, you get tired running around a tire.
Yeah, it's very tiring.
Yeah.
Boxing in general, you know, all those things that you do at the gym. I know you go to a gym, boxing gym, and those are all great workouts. Even if you're never gonna last a couple of years, you know, you hit those bags for 3 minutes. That's a big workout, you know.
It really is. It sounds so, like, before I did any of this, I was like, 3 minutes, that's nothing, you know, or but then you realize just 4 rounds, which would be 12 minutes, it's 4 rounds is a long time. Like, by the time I do a warm up, like jump rope and kind of get a sweat going, do a little shadow boxing, and then I hit the bags, I'm like, man, I only did like 12 minutes, which is 4 rounds. And then you're just drenched in sweat. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's a great workout, and it is hard. You know, it's harder than it looks because you're constantly moving, constantly holding your arms up, and, you know, throwing punches gets your wind going. So that's a good workout.
Yeah, it really is. I think that one of the best things that early on I had a coach, he,
don't hurt yourself.
Don't hurt yourself. Yeah. Don't hurt yourself. Yeah. We would, you know, I'd hit the speed bag, and, you know, you're already tired because we do the speed bag at the end of the workout, and you want to naturally, like, drop one hand and just hit it with the speed bag with your right hand and let your left hand recover. But he was like, nope, you got to protect yourself. And I go, but my arms are, my shoulders, they're sore. And he goes, it's better to have sore shoulders than a sore head.
Well, he's right about that. You know, Hey, all that stuff looks easy when you watch somebody else do it. But when you're doing it, a speed bag really is, again, a hard workout.
Absolutely. What are you doing these days for exercise?
You know, I'm sitting around. And eating a lot of KFC. No, I it's on the bucket list. Come on, Darren. I did a recall on that joke. Come on.
Yeah. Oh, you real quick, you got to do a joke about that guy, Jeffrey Toobin, the guy that was cut, you know.
Oh, yeah, that guy. Playing that guy, you know, Jeffrey Toobin. I did write a joke about it. Jeffrey Toobin is back on CNN after getting suspended for masturbating on national television.
I go, on a Zoom call. Yeah, it was a Zoom call.
Yeah, it was a Zoom call on national, but it was on national TV, wasn't it?
I don't know if it was on national.
Well, anyway, TV. He was a CNN guy. He's back on, and for punishment, they've got him doing community service at a food bank. I was like, well, shouldn't he be working at a sperm bank? Come on, everybody.
Come on, guys.
This Tubin guy is really
I don't know if I'd want him handling my food. Like, he's like, hey, would you like me to... I wonder why they're like, he's like, can I be in charge of buttering the corn by hand? Who wants a hot dog? Guy. No, thank you, Jeffrey. No, thank you.
Let's hope he's wearing gloves. Well, anyway, that's a crazy story, isn't it?
Yeah, you could maybe use that or something. That's funny. That's what I like about your comedy. It's so fast, it's so quick, and it's a lot of topical stuff that's like so like in the moment, you know? It's like, wow, this guy is aware of what's going on in the world, you know? But in a way, I like to go evergreen, that way I can, you know, jokes last long.
I'm pretty woke. Starting, in fact, Darren, bathroom scale. I'm woke, Darren. I'm not.
Yeah, he's woke, folks.
I'm woke. I won't even answer the white courtesy phone at the airport.
How woke are you? Ask me how woke I am. How woke are you?
How woke are you?
I like that. See, you should get the crowd to I'm so woke, I threw out both of my mattresses. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm so woke, even my car is woke. It's a Trans Am. Yeah. Come on, everybody.
Yeah.
I'm so woke, I canceled myself on Twitter.
I like that. What about, like, your car? It's like, I canceled my car. It's a Trans Am. It's my car is woke. I leave the blinker on all the time because my car goes both ways. It's woke.
Yeah, man.
What about, like, what? You know, like, you're not, I guess some people, they choose their pronouns, like he, she, they, them. And what about, maybe there's something like, you know, like whale watching when they go, thar, she blows. Maybe you could say something like, thar, they blow, or something.
Thar, them blow. I don't know. There's a lot of...
Even they were woke. Because, you know, don't they usually refer to boats and ships as she's and...
Yeah. Well, you know what? That's right. There's plenty of jokes in the woke world.
Hey, what about like wakeboarding? I don't go wakeboarding, I go wokeboarding.
There you go.
Yeah. You're gonna write this stuff down. I go wokeboarding. I spot stuff.
Yeah,
I go, why does it have to be a sperm whale? Shouldn't it be a, I don't know.
There's a lot of stuff out there.
Ovaries whale? I don't know. Ovaries have sperm whale, ovary whale? I don't know.
Folks, wokeboarding is good.
Yeah, wakeboarding, wokeboarding. Yeah. Maybe you could find things at the, at the beach that wake you up, that are woke.
You know, it's funny. I get a big laugh when I just say, I know a lot of you are looking at me going, this guy's pretty woke.
That's funny.
Just saying that because I look like I'm probably the least woke guy ever.
You could even, do you do the thing about I canceled myself? That's funny. Something
like
that.
Yeah, I did, but yeah. Yeah.
I canceled myself, yeah. I like the idea too that you're about MySpace and some of the older technology where you mentioned that. That's funny stuff too.
Well, I'm not getting a lot. Yeah, well, it's just
it must be like super, even Tom's like not on the book.
Yeah. Even Tom's not on there anymore.
Man,
funny.
This has been a great episode. I hope that, and we'll keep going. But every now and then my device it keeps saying like. Write error, WRITE, but then it looks like the timer's still going, so maybe it is still recording.
Well, I hope so. What do you think? Do you think it's still working?
I think it's still recording because it's, the timer's still going, and
You got a top-notch podcast. Yours is one of the best in the country, and I know you have a lot of fans. You know, the Darren Carter merchandise is big, too. Like, I got that Party Starter T-shirt.
Oh, thank you. Oh, by the way, I'm going to do a quick plug since you brought that up. Cameo, guys. I'm on Cameo. I will do a Father's Day shout out. I lowered my prices for Father's Day. I want to help you guys out. And I just want to be busy. So, you know, a lot of guys like Snoop Dogg, they charge $700. I do it at rock bottom prices. So I will give a personal shout out. I'll do impressions. What's up? Happy birthday. Whatever you want me to do. Darren Carter, go to Cameo. It's cameo.com/official Darren Carter. Back to you, Fraze.
Well, I just really dig the t-shirt. And, you know, I'm surprised because so many people comment on it. I shouldn't have been surprised. I know you got a lot of fans. But, you know, like I was wearing it the other day, the Party Starter t-shirt, the old one, the OG.
Oh, yeah, the OG.
I don't know if you changed them or not, but this one's cool. And I had it on.
The same one. I think I still go with the same one.
It's cool. And people keep coming up to me, hey, man, the Party Starter. How's Darren doing, man? Darren's a great comic.
That's cool.
Yeah, I get that from a lot of people, and they respond to that shirt.
You know, my old
merchant. And I always tell them, I always say, no, I'm the Party Starter. He stole that from me.
Oh, yeah, you did do something with a party thing, right, back in the day. You really did.
Oh, I was teasing. But, I was the original party animal. I started that back when I was at KLOS, the party animal.
That's funny.
And, I was a party animal. And I had the party animal glow-in-the-dark T-shirts, which were awesome. My buddy was a martial arts instructor, and he was also an artist, and he designed the shirts. And they had this kind of like rat. He was like a hip rat. He was did it so that it would glow in the dark. And they were really popular for a while, the glow-in-the-dark T-shirts.
That's cool. I do remember glow-in-the-dark T-shirts, but, yeah, that's awesome that you incorporated your own thing on there.
I was a party animal, man.
I remember my first merch shirt. My first merchandise was, I used to do a joke about knockoff brands, like instead of Tommy Hilfiger, what about Timmy Middlefinger? And so somebody designed a red, white, and blue looking like Tommy Hilfiger thing, and it said Timmy Middlefinger. And then I had another joke about getting tattoos that were flies on your shoulders, flies on your neck. So people would say, why do you have flies on you? And you could be like, because I'm the shit. And so I had...
I remember that joke,
The t-shirt that had the black flies all over. And where I was at, it wouldn't... You know, I mean, it just depends on what market you're in.
You know, yeah, it reminds me, somebody came up to me the other day and said, dude, is that a tribal tattoo? And I was like, no, those are sunspots.
Those are sunspots. Yeah. Oh, I remember when
I'm old, everybody.
How old are you?
Ah, that is weird.
How old are you?
I'm so old, I got my vaccine in 2018. I'm so old, my blood type is insure.
I don't want to make you do your act, man. We got to like, but these are great jokes. These are great jokes. And maybe you could do I'm so old and then some of the stuff that you don't do anymore. I don't know what the I'm so old, but I like that. Well, those are good. I'm so old. I mean, and everything is changing so fast now. It's like, I mean, I feel like I'm so old. A lot of people feel old because they're like, you know, like the other day, somebody tried to pay me through the Cash App, and I'm like, well, I only use Venmo. And he's like, I never heard of Venmo. And I'm thinking, you never heard of Venmo? But, you know.
I know, it's funny because as old school as I am, even I get upset with that kind of stuff. What do you mean you don't know about Venmo? You know, I mean,
it's funny
how you adapt quickly and then you start, you know.
Yeah, exactly. You
know, making fun of people who don't get it, you know.
Yeah, exactly. The day you adapt.
It's just because they're not woke. They're not woke,
they're
Darren.
Not woke. I know, like this guy that I was talking to, he was talking about, you know, we were basically talking easy, like, Jesus, traveling, backpacking through the Phoenix.
This was kind of interesting. Steve, COVID hit, really funny guy. My friend overheard this, and she said, I want my money back. And he said, well, why? You didn't like the show? And she said, no, there were no women in the show. And he said, well, it's a two-man show. You know, it's a two-man comedy team.
Oh, wow.
And she goes, that's not very woke. Oh. That's what she said.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I kind of see your point in a way, you know, you want women to be involved in everything. But, I mean, it's just a two-man show is a two-man show. I mean, come on, you know.
I'd be like, what's next? I went to a boxing match. There's no women in the ring, but there are, see, but just not in that particular time frame of, you know.
Well, there's a lot of good women boxers now, you know. Out there, and some really good women MMA fighters too.
You know, hey, remember this old joke? Really women good. They like fighting over a purse and the belt. I remember this comic did that joke on Last Comic Standing, and Joe Rogan was one of the judges, and he's like, "That's an old joke," and it's an old fighting joke, right? And then I think Buddy Hackett was defending the guy that stole the joke, or said the old joke. I don't know. It was definitely a moment in time. I was like, "Whoa." Like,
Well, now, you know, you have to be careful what you say at all times. And, you know, women's sports have really taken off. You know, the WNBA is they're doing their finals right now, too. And I had a joke about that, too, a while back. But it's really, you know, women's sports are awesome. You know.
Oh, by the way, we were talking about
some really good MMA fighters.
Your exercise routine. Are you exercising these days? You're on the bicycle, the stationary bike.
I've been riding a stationary bike, and so far it hasn't gone anywhere.
Hey, what about this joke? Maybe I heard this in my, but I think I just made this up. But maybe it's an old joke. I don't know. Hey, I rode a stationary bike. I kept getting paper cuts on my crotch. Maybe that can be in your file of jokes you don't do anymore.
Well, I need to get a file cabinet first at the stationery store. You never know. I mean,
I went to the stationery store to buy a bike. I don't know.
Came back with a copier. I've been riding the copier. You folks, come on, knock it off.
Who wants my merchandise? It's photos of my butt. You can have all these. Hey, that's what you could say. You could do a bunch of jokes and be like, these are jokes I'm getting rid of, or whatever.
You know, the scary thing, and this is really true, I still have a fax machine.
The only person that faxes me is Tom from MySpace.
Yeah, no. Tom's the only one. Okay, I got to write this down.
He's like, when are you coming back? No. Or something. Yeah, I think I have a fax machine. I think you still do need a fax machine at times. Am I right? I don't know. There's probably some young tech just write on it, did it, sign it, sign my signature.
All that equipment around me.
I still have my comedy CDs. Like, I know some people, they like to have something physical where they're like, oh, thank you. Know, they want the physical.
What was my favorite one? I love the, what was the one with the Halloween one?
Oh, okay. So, thank you again for every time I'd go on your show, especially when I was promoting those albums, you guys would let me play a couple copies. So my first album is still, but guys that are listening, they're still all out there. So you can still purchase them or stream them or whatever.
They're great. They're great.
First one was called Shady Side.
Shady Side. Because
my gang would be on the shady side of the street. I get sunburned easy. Shady Side. The next one was called That Ginger's Crazy. State Tripper, or it was the newest one, and that's called The Party Continues. And there was a bit about Halloween that we would
That's play. The one. That's the one. I love that Halloween bit. And, you know, all your stuff on there is great. That's a lot of material to have four CDs.
It really is. And I should probably, I was gearing up to do another album, and then COVID hit. And so I figured, well, let's see how this goes. And, you know, that should be my goal now, is to work on another album. But it's a little bit like, it took the wind out of my sails when I realized, like, people aren't really buying CDs, but I think you could still send them in to be played on SiriusXM, Spotify.
Yeah, Pandora. They'll get you some airplay on the radio. And also, you never know when people will start buying them again.
You're right.
It's kind of like vinyl, you know, all of a sudden people are into vinyl again, you know? So you never know. And so I don't think you ever really lose that. But you could come up with one. How about Lockdown with the Party Starter?
Lockdown. I know, exactly.
And it's just the party starter all by himself. And
yeah, exactly. Oh, that's good.
No one at the party.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no one at the party of one.
Yeah, party of one. There you go.
Darren Carter Party's Party of One. Just one guy doing comedy by himself. Not even an audience.
Yeah. Just me in the living room here.
Me and my machine.
And my family.
Yeah. Hey, it's great to be here. But your jokes are really good for that. Like, see,
Did I tell you the one? I only have one CD, and I did this one. It was called These Are the Jokes, Folks. And I did it at the Laugh Factory, and where there was four people.
Dang.
Four comedians came in.
You were ahead of your time.
It was four people, and it was on purpose. We did it purposely with no audience except these four guys. And they're all friends of ours. And they sat there, and they just hooted it up at my dumb jokes. And it really, I don't know where you get it. I guess you can get it on Stitchers. I don't know where it is. But
Stitchers. Yeah.
I was saying, Snitches get stitchers.
Yeah. Why don't you do this? Why don't you post a bulletin on MySpace later when you find out where we can...
Yeah, I don't know where it is. I'm trying to think where it would be. But anyway, you can get it, and no one has actually bought it. You know, you get those things, those reports on how your CD is doing. Well, mine said none.
Well, because nobody knows where it's at. That's probably, you know, it's like, yeah, I know what you're saying. It's... Gosh, it's funny.
It's actually really funny. It's really funny because it just sounds so weird.
You should go back and listen to it and be like, I don't even, you know, I forgot all about it. You'd be surprised how many good jokes are probably on there that you don't do anymore or you don't do the same way. You know, you and I were talking once. I have another friend that, you know, has listened to our stuff over the years. Photographer from the Ice House, Michael Schwartz.
And he goes, Michael.
He goes, I love Frasier, and he's been around since like 2003 out there. And he's like, I love when Frasier does, but he always forgets the second part of the joke. And that's what I'm saying. There's like tags to certain jokes that we say. We you know.
Yeah, he always likes my joke about
the one he told me.
NASCAR. I was watching NASCAR. They have a car sponsored by Viagra, and the joke is this thing's great. When you wax it, it turns into a limo. And then the tag that I always forget is keep rubbing. You come in first, second, and third.
Yes. That's what I'm talking
about. And he loves that. And I always forget to do that tag.
I know there's certain tags, right? We're like, it's cool how we, as comedians, we run into certain people and they remind us of jokes that we're like, oh, I totally forgot about that one. Or,
well, I think bored with stuff that we've done a lot, you know, over the years. And so you'll move on in your mind, but maybe that's something that, you know, the audience liked. I think a lot of performers deal with that. I think bands deal with that. I think a lot of times bands get tired of, and I'm sure the Rolling Stones are tired of playing Satisfaction, you know, every show for the last, you know, 50 years.
I know. By the way, I upload, guys, go to my YouTube channel. Please hit subscribe and you'll be in the loop and hit like on my videos. That little thumbs up, it lets me know you care. Frasier, I uploaded, speaking of the Ice House, a video that I found in my vault from 2003. And there was this whole routine that I probably only did for like 6 months, and then I moved on from it. And I'm looking at it and I'm watching it as it's through fresh eyes, like 18 years later. And I'm like, this is actually good. And the bit was about, I'd seen something recently at that time about these birds that would eat fermented fruit and get drunk. And so then for my bit, I became like a drunk bird, and I'd be like, oh, boy. And I'm like flapping my arms, and I'm like, and I'd whistle. I'd be like, you know, and I'd be like, here comes a bird I don't like. I'm going to flip him the person, you know, flip him.
You know, you used to do a lot of physical bits like that. The one I always liked was the backpack bit.
Oh, yeah. See, I still do that.
You did that on the Tonight Show, remember?
I still bring that in. Yeah, with that physicality looks funny where they would call me Rooster. What's up, Rooster? And I say I had bouncy, bright red hair and the heavy backpack. And when I walked, it looked like this. And I do the walk and the bounce. And yeah, so when I see
it. It was great.
I love that stuff. Yeah, it's when I see it.
What was my favorite bit, though? What's my favorite bit of yours?
Shady Side? No.
I run the street. I run the street.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We run the streets. We're not scared of nothing. Yeah. Gangland, tell us about your gang. Yeah, that one.
Yeah, it was a great bit, man. We run the streets. I used to drive around saying that to myself.
I know.
Yeah. Well, sometimes old bits are great. You know, when you do one-liners like mine, though, you know, they're usually, you can't use them because, well, sometimes you can update them. But usually it's like you can't really use an Obama or, you know, a Gerald Ford who's like five.
And I was never a guy that you don't want to get that.
I never think that's a good idea. Now, you do a boxing bit, though, now, because you're doing your boxing. That is pretty, that's funny, you know. Your bit is basically that, you know, it's one thing to hit the bags, but then when you're in a real boxing match, the guy's punching you back.
Yeah.
It's a pretty funny bit.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm trying to think which one that is, because I've.
Is that how it goes? I don't remember how it goes.
It's something like that. It's because there's a couple. I've always played with the idea of, you know, like I might do a couple jokes and then I'm always rewriting that whole bit. Well, one time this guy, Gabe, he's a famous boxer named Gabe Rosado from Philly, was giving me advice. And as he was giving me the advice, I was taking it all in like, okay, I'll do that. And he was like, he was just, I don't know. It was cool, man. He was really treating me like I was going to one day be in a boxing match. Because he's like, all right, what you do is, and he's like, the guy, he has a real deep voice. He's like, I just make him sound like Rocky, but because he's from Philly. But he's like, so naturally, when the guy hits you with the jab and he's going to do the hook, right? You're going to, because what you do is you turn your face, like instantly turn your face. All right. Now he thinks you're going to do what? Go underneath. But what you're going to do is you're going to go over like old school, like how they used to do old school. And you may lose a few points with the judges when he grazes your face, but when you go old school, you're going to win. And I'm like, yeah, yeah.
Well, so
I'm, you know, and I'm thinking, I'm never going to be in a situation where I'm losing points with the judges and, you know. Like, hey, honey, we're in a dark alley. Here comes, don't worry, I'm going to let them graze my face. You know.
Where are the judges? They were supposed to be here.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now, you know, remember, just, I don't know if you ever knew a guy named Vinny Curto. Vinny Curto. Did you ever meet Vinny?
Yes.
Vinny was an actual really good boxer. He fought for the middleweight championship against Marvin Hagler.
Wow.
And, you know, he lost, but he was a really tough fighter, great fighter.
When he's the guy I'm thinking of, I think I may have seen him around the Comedy Store, and now does he look really big like the Incredible Hulk? Like he's kind of a big guy now. Like he doesn't look like a middleweight. He looks like a strong... If it's the guy I'm thinking of.
Guy, and he did stand up, loved Vinny, and he was just a super tough boxer. You know, really high caliber, way up at the top.
If it's the guy I'm thinking of, he looks like he could play a bad guy in a lot of movies, because he looks like a
tough guy. Yeah, he has a bad guy look. And he used to get a lot of acting parts, bad guy parts in movies. Yeah.
Let me see. Vinny Curto. I'm going to look
Vinny
him up.
Curto.
Vinny Curto.
I think he fought Hagler for the middleweight championship, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah, this is the guy. This is the guy. I would see him around. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's a tough guy, man. He looks like a tough guy.
Yeah, he's a real tough guy and super cool guy, though, you know? Sometimes really tough guys are also really cool.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's just got a kind of a funny, playful attitude about life. He's always playing pranks.
And I remember seeing him at the Comedy Store. He's really cool with me. And then I happened to see him like the next day when I was walking in Burbank, and he was walking into a pizza joint. And I go, and I didn't really know him, but I remember, you know, I may have said hi to him the night before. And when I saw him there, I go, hey, what's going on? And he goes, hey, how you doing? He gives me like a little, like a wink and a finger gun type of thing. Like that. And I was like, hey, take it easy. You know,
he's a cool dude, man. Cool dude, Vinny. Vinny Curto.
That's right. But hey, Frazier, man, it was great having you on. I hope this thing recorded. It looks like it did. And if you guys are listening still, I want to thank you. And Frazier, you're the best. If there's any words of wisdom or any parting comments, please, the floor is yours.
Well, and there, you check in with...
You have some fun activities.
Exactly.
You'll be out there wokeboarding.
You'll be wokeboarding. All right. Very good, Darren. I love being on your show, man. I got to go ride the exercise bike and see if I can get it to move maybe a foot.
All right, my man.
All right, my friend. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All right.
All right.
Party guy, I'm out.
That's right. He is out. Yes, I hope this thing recorded. Guys, thank you so much. Like I said, I'm on Cameo. If you want to help out the podcast, do us a favor. Share the YouTube link. Leave some comments. Give it some thumbs up. And if you want to throw us a few dollars, it helps. I'm on Venmo at Darren Carter Comic. Also, PayPal. Go to DarrenCarter.com. I have a donate button on PayPal. And I'm available on Cameo. You guys are awesome. Don't hurt nobody. Be careful. And let's see if this thing recorded. All right. Lots of love. Talk to you soon. Darren Carter, Party Starter. See ya.